Welcome back, 1300 01 1170. Thank you very much, April. Now, Finchie, we just sort of hack away here on radio, just trying to flum our way through. But occasionally you meet an absolute superstar, somebody who's, well, just iconic when it comes to Australian sport. And I'm pleased to say this man here, who has been involved in many, many Olympics. He's been involved in all the big events, rugby league, Bathurst 1000s, Melbourne Cups, Winter Olympics, Summer Olympics, etc., etc. And the list goes on. The tennis, I'm pleased to say he's on the line. Pat Welsh, good afternoon. Oh, you see, well, I think when I mentioned that we were flumming our way through,
he was
a professional, he thought, oh, geez, I better not align myself with these two pelicans. But anyway, we'll try and get Paddy back on in a minute. Keep your icebergs coming through, by the way. Many relating to, we just hit an iceberg ourselves,
yes.
I suppose. Many relating to Stephen Bradbury.
Yep.
This one coming through from Chris, the whole of the Stephen Bradbury race. If your name wasn't Stephen Bradbury. But anyway, we'll get back to those. And in the meantime, Pat Welsh is back on the line. G'day, Paddy.
G'day, guys. I listened to half of that intro before my phone dropped out. It was lovely, those few words that Mum sent through to you, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, they were. Pat, mate, how are you feeling? Because this is Olympics time and, you know, pressure, some eat it, some get eaten by it. And not just for those participants, but the amount of big events that you've had to cover. And do you get that little bit excited around this time of year when there's events such as the Olympics on?
Oh, yeah, well and truly. And, of course, we've had to wait for that extra 12 months. I mean, sadly, I'm not over there. You know, a few family issues with me, with mother. She's not all that well. She's in Brizzy now. So I wasn't prepared to have to come home in a hurry and then isolate or quarantine for 14 days. So, look, I'm more than happy to join the throngs, sitting back and watching the lot. Obviously, the one that I've, well, sort of specialised in has been track and field since 92 in Barcelona. I watched that particularly closely, but I love the swimming as well, and hopefully it'll be the perfect launch pad. I know we tend to say most times that this could be one of the best swim teams that we've ever sent away. I really believe that this could be one of the best swim teams that we've ever sent away, to tell you the truth, guys.
Hey, Pat, what does it mean for you? You're a proud Brisbane man. You mentioned your mother's up there as well, and the other day we get announced as the 2032 Olympic host Brisbane. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to the people of Brisbane? What does it mean to Australia?
Well, look, there's always a little bit of trepidation because I've been to so many and I've seen some places left in ruins, like, you know, the money that Athens spent, for example, and Rio. Look, I tend to doubt whether Rio was ready for it, to tell you the truth. And, you know, we see those sad images and stories of a lot of the stadiums left in ruins and they're all but slums now. As you know, they've changed the business model. The IOC had to and did change the business model of the Olympic Games. And I think if we can do it for somewhere around that, about that $5 million that they're saying that it will cost us, then I think we'll do a wonderful job. Commonwealth Games, as we all know, is just a slice of the Olympics. And I think we did the Commonwealth Games pretty well. They'll learn from their mistakes. But, yeah, look, I'm genuinely excited. I just want to be around when it's on in 11 years' time, guys.
We all do, Paddy.
Yeah, there's a genuine excitement up here now, I think, about the biggest gig in sport coming here. And not only is it just Brisbane, it's spreading, you know, to the north and south coast. We've got so many great places to show off. And I think we'll do a good job of it because, you know, normal venues had 7 years to prep. Obviously, Sydney 2000, the announcement, that famous announcement came in 93. This time we've got 11 years to prep to get the infrastructure right, to get the stadiums right. We won't have a stadium like Sydney had with 110 or 112,000 people there the night that Cathy run. We'll have a boutique stadium of 50 or 60, and look, that's the way of the world these days.
Paddy, it's great to talk some with sense. We just had Nudo on and had to dribble through him. We obviously know you're close to the family. Mate, in all your experience, in all, like you said, with the Olympics, what's your favourite Olympic moment of all time? Because you've covered a lot of sports and a lot of great moments in world sport.
Yeah, look, Kinchy, I've got to say that, you know, I'll be boring. Cathy.
Yeah.
You know, so just that night there, you know, you've got the likes of Gebre Selassie and Michael Johnson, who are genuine global superstars, you know, and would dominate any stage they were on. Well, they were relegated to almost, you know, second acts, if you know what I mean.
Because
we'd waited as a nation so long, and the build-up around it had been so big. Then, of course, she lights the flame, and then she appears for her race and, you know, appears in the suit. Look, it was all meant to be. And can you imagine if she'd been beaten?
Yeah.
If she was beaten. You know, the thing that I remember most was, you know, Macca saying right at the end, you know, what a champion, what a legend. And then Raylene chiming in with those three little words, what a relief.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that echoes. And of course, I've got a little earpiece. I'm sitting on the finish line waiting to do my interview. And I heard Boyle say, what a relief. I think the whole nation felt like that. When she crossed the line, we all just exhaled. And to be as part of that, and it's such a big crowd. And, you know, we've all been to footy finals and great big sporting events where the crowds are split, but not this one. I mean, yeah. With the exception of maybe a couple of thousand internationals supporting their own particular athletes, there was probably 107,000 all yelling for Cathy that night. So, yeah, sure, I've done the Barcelonas and the Rios and the, you know, Atlantas and three or four winters as well. But this was as good a moment as I've had in 40-odd years of sport, I think.
Yeah, you're right. When you think about, actually, under pressure, delivering on the biggest stage, that's probably none bigger than Cathy's. Because like you said, Paddy, obviously there's teams that go into grand finals, you know, massive favourites under pressure. But you're in a team. This is a world event.
Oh, it's massive.
You're on your ace. Mm. You're at your home Olympics. And like you said, not only do you have millions watching, there's 110,000 people in the stand cheering for you. That's when you talk about it, that's a massive effort from Cathy, wasn't it?
Well, Paddy, Cathy actually gave the advice to South Sydney when they broke the drought in 2014. She went into the shed and said, guys, go out there early grand final day and absorb the pressure because you want it on your side. You don't want it as an enemy. On to your career, what's the most pressure you've felt or the biggest moment you've had to do in your broadcasting career, Paddy?
Oh, getting it right.
Yeah.
I mean, we're told a million times, never ask how do you feel.
Yep.
And I was, you know, innately conscious of that because the setup in the mix zones is always the host broadcaster, and then it goes purely in an IOC event, purely on money. So NBC, if it's not in the States, NBC are always second because they pay $1 billion for the rights. And we, you know, you had those swim coaches in that years ago in Beijing said, well, there's no way in the world we'll be holding swim finals in the morning. I said, well, hang on a minute. But NBC wants them in the morning. NBC will get them in the morning. So, you know, Joel, it's just being able to get the question right and not stuff it up. I've got one quick little story about a British Open where possibly we may have had a couple the night before with Newton and one of our dear departed commentators in Dean Morfitt, who was supposed to be on early duty at the course this day. So at about 12:30, there was allegations that I was doing my holding impersonation from the long run on the Brighton Pier.
Yes.
You'd need video evidence for me to confirm it. But
correct.
All of a sudden, they called and said, get your backside out here. We can't find Drew. Some bloke from Spain's just shot 64 and equaled the course record. So out I go, and I'm, you know, unshaven and all this. We weren't even on air for about 4 hours. But they wanted to get this guy and record an interview. So fortunately, it was only recorded. Find him, find his golf bag on the range, bloke standing there beside the bag, walk straight over, introduce myself, congratulations, great round, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm looking in my phone to try, you know, he's number 480 in the world or something. And I said, chance of an interview? Yeah, sure, you know, in Spanish, you know, like with a bit of English. And we started. I said, oh, congratulations, mate, absolutely sensational round. And we get about two or three questions in, and it's going beautifully, you know, for someone in my state, until someone comes in and literally pushes me out of the way and reaches into the bag and goes for a 7-iron and then walks to the range. And I said, who's that? He said, that's my player. I'm the caddy.
Very good. Hey, Paddy, we would love to speak with you more over the next couple of weeks, of course, and any time after that, by the way. But we've got to run. Mate, we appreciate you taking us down memory lane and very, very insightful. Thank you very much.
Pleasure, guys.
Thanks, Paddy.
Paddy Welsh, champion. Four Pines Brewing Co., the official beer of Drive with Joel and Fletch.